Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, June 25th. Could you hear me looking for the date there? I kind of like was looking, and I June 25th. June 25th in this motherfucker. Sorry, I'm actually excited because I'm doing it Sunday night, so this fucking thing's going to be up midnight West Coast time in the continental United States, which means I don't have to deal with anybody, you know, giving me shit. Dude, what the fuck? You know what? What the fuck? Right back at you. I'm in a great goddamn move. My lady. Lady, you have left this state and I am all alone now. And I'm remembering what it was like to be a single man. I just made my freckled ass some motherfucking chicken. I had boneless. I deboned those thighs, too. Like a motherfucker. I'm in such a stupid mood. I had boneless chicken breasts. No, boneless chicken thighs. And broccoli. I can't say that word without. I can't say broccoli without an Asian accent. I don't know why. I know why, because when I lived in New York City and I was broke, there was a Chinese restaurant around the corner, and I always ordered chicken and broccoli. Okay, if I wasn't eating sketty with fucking Prego, I would call up. Every once in a while, I would treat myself with little Chinese food, and I would call up. They're like, hello, number one. I'm like, hey, number one, what's up? Can I get chicken and broccoli? They made chicken broccoli. Chicken and broccoli. And ever since then, I've said that. So just in case you thought I had any Chinese blood in me, I don't. I consider those people my friends for all the chicken and broccoli they made me back in the late 90s. This sounds like an apology, like a corporate apology. I had no dealings with number one Chinese food. I did stop in there on a number of occasions. I did partake in some of the cuisine that was offered. But at no time was there any inappropriate touching underneath that filthy fucking glass that I don't think was bulletproof. You know, I'll tell you, the Chinese restaurants in fucking New York, where I lived anyways, when I was on the Upper East Side, Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? It was like you'd have some, either, it was either a rusty grate between you and the other person, or just filthy glass, plastic or some shit. I don't know. Oh, Christ. I don't even know what I'm saying. Look at my dog just fucking laying there. Can you get a goddamn job and, contribute? I'm actually jealous. Thing's fucking skinny as hell, dude. My dog's emaciated. Dropped her off at the trainer. I don't know what the fuck happened. Yeah, what were you doing over there? All right, let's get the podcast. Let's get it back under control. I didn't do shit today. So anyway, so my woman's out of town. My lady, she's out of town. So, you know what's funny is she keeps checking in on me. You know, what are you doing? What's going on? You know? And you know what it is? It's one, because she misses me, and two, because they think that we're fucking morons. And she just wants to hear, like, what a difficult time I'm having without her. You know? Like, oh, I don't even know how to make cereal. Like I'm some sitcom fucking guy. All right? It's not how it's going down. I did the fucking laundry. I made myself a healthy dinner, a protein no bigger than the size of my head. Isn't that what we're supposed to eat? And a vegetable. All right, go fuck yourself. And you know what? I had a great time doing it. I haven't cooked in years. And you know why? Because my woman is oppressive in the kitchen. She loves cooking, so anytime I go to cook, she comes in there. She's looking over my fucking shoulder. Just, why are you cutting them up that way? What are you doing? You're like, fuck it. You do it. You fucking do it. Why are you always getting mad? Fucking trying to make you a goddamn meal. It's one of the nicest things somebody can do for you. Prepare a meal for you. Just sit there, shut the fuck up, and let me do. You think what do you think I did? Ate out of goddamn garbage cans before I met you? She always gives me shit about the way I make my eggs, because she, you know, she always says I always, like, whenever I make scrambled eggs or whatever, like, there's too much egg gets stuck to the fucking pan and it's a pain in the ass to wash, I mean, you know? It's like, I'm sorry, I don't spray it with you know, fuck the ozone layer, Pam, every goddamn time, dripping with the shit. No wonder it doesn't stick. I'm surprised it doesn't fucking slide right off onto the floor. This is, you know what? This is you're just listening to a pathetic man who's psyched that he's finally in his place by himself and he can just deliver his entire argument without being interrupted. So I'm telling you, she wants to come back. And as much as she wants the place to be neat, she wants it to be a fucking disaster. She wants to feel needed. She wants to feel that I am fucking lost without her. And I'm such a cunt. I am not going to let that happen. This place is going to be spotless. It's going to be ready for one of those movie drill sergeants. You know, those guys that get in your face. I didn't hear you. You know, you can come over here and bounce a fucking quarter right off my goddamn face. Whatever the fuck they do. Off the beds. Jeez, right there, I would never make it in the military. I'm supposed to be able to bounce a fucking quarter. Why? Why are you supposed to be able to bounce a quarter? Why? Does that somehow make me, you know, better at fighting the enemy if I can throw dirty change at a blanket and then catch it like the Fonz? You know? What happened to you, sir? What did you really want to do? You know? Did you really want to do this and scream at people? That was your dream, to scream at people? For your entire fucking life, that's what you wanted to do? With that Hitler fade? Do you know Hitler had like a Fresh Prince from Bel Air haircut mixed with a Martin Sheen in Apocalypse? He was Martin Sheen Apocalypse Now on top, but he had a fade down below that Will Smith's character with the 8-ball leather jacket would have loved. He would have loved it. I'm sorry. I've been watching a lot of shit about fucking mass murderers lately. And he always comes up, of course. You know what I mean? Can't have a thing about mass murders without Hitler, right? Just can't fucking do it. Can't have a rock show without Zeppelin, man. Stairway to Heaven. You know, that's what he is. You got to fucking have that shit in there. So that's my goal. That's my goal. And I'm actually wrestling with this. Should I leave the place a little bit dirty so she feels like wanted? Or should I just go fucking, like, you know, just come with the pimp vibe? Like, this place is fucking spotless, all right? So you need to be on, you need to mind your P's and Q's, whatever the fuck those letters stand for. What does it stand for? Somebody's going to know. Somebody actually knows what, when you say mind your P's and Q's. There's some douche, listen to this. Yeah, you're a douche, all right? That knows what the fuck that stands for. And they've just been waiting for somebody to fuck it up. All excited so they can be like, I know what it means. Well, send me a goddamn email. And by the way, I haven't said the email for a while here. Oh, what a segue. Fucking classic right there. I should teach a fucking podcast class. You know somebody's going to do that. Somebody's going to teach a podcast class the same way somebody teach a comedy class. And that's what you do when you're failing. Whenever you're failing at what you do, you teach it. All right, there we go. We just insulted teachers. All right, the email is bill@themmpodcast.com. bill@capital M capital P podcast.com. bill@themmpodcast.com. All right, if you don't fucking know it by now, just hit stop and rewind on your little player, and you'll be fine. Oh, by the way, can you guys, I know, I really appreciate all the input and all that stuff that you guys send to me, because God knows if you didn't send it to me, I wouldn't be able to do this podcast. See, without you, I'm nothing. As they slowly dim the lights and I go into some sort of pandering fucking song, like that Jackson Brown song, singing about the roadies, like he gives a shit, you know? I think he fucking pissed them off and they weren't setting his piano up right. So he wrote him a song just so they'd stop fucking with him so he could get rid of his tour. And then somehow he goes out of that to, oh, won't you stay? Just fucking, the whole thing is, I hate pandering. I don't like it. And you know what the worst part of pandering is? Watching a performer go on stage and pander to the audience is watching you fucking animals eat it up. You eat it up every goddamn time. I got to tell you something. We played a lot of cities, but Hartford, you guys are the best. And they'll be, woo! Give me a fucking break. There's nothing good about Hartford. You know, you don't believe me, ask the Whalers. Why do you think they left? You couldn't even hold on to the fucking Whalers. How does that make you feel, Hartford? You know why they left? Because that stupid-ass song you used to play. What's it called? The Brass City Orchestra? Speaking of sports, I think my good friend Paul Verzi's a little upset with me. He's been on this Robinson Cano thing, I swear to God, since I've met him. And he's the classic dude I called it guy. And he's brought up Robinson Cano to me so many fucking times, like a year or a year and a half ago. I told him, Paul, like I actually put like a gag order. It's like, you have to stop bringing this fucking guy up. You're making me hate this guy, and I don't hate him. I don't know what he said six fucking years ago, whenever the fuck Cano came up, but Paul Verzi believes that he is the only person in America that realized the potential of Robinson Cano, you know? And let's just say, for the sake of fucking argument, he does. It's fucking 7 years later. You know? He's like fucking, you know what he, and then he's got all these other calls that fell on their fucking faces, right? You know what he's like? But all he does is bring up this Robinson Cano shit. I'm getting sick of it, Paul Verzi, because I know somebody emailed you this fucking link, all right? You know what you're like, Paul, with your predictions? You're like Jerome Bettis at the end of his fucking career, where he'd have 15 rushes for 22 fucking yards in the fourth quarter, just totally getting shut down, and then he'd bust off one for like 8 yards, 10 yards, and then he would get up, thumping his fucking chest like he's been doing it all day. That's what's bugging me about this. He called me up. This is how fucking sick Paul Verzi is and why you should see him in a comedy club. Because you have to see his sickness live. He called me up. I'm sitting on the fucking couch, minding my own fucking business, hanging out with the dog, making sure the place is spotless. So when my woman comes home, she knows I can take you and fucking leave you. Mind your fucking P's and Q's, lady. He calls me up, and I'm going to break his fucking balls about this. He called me up, and he goes, dude, he's like, I know you're not going to give me credit for this, but this one might be my greatest call of all. He's talking about the Robinson Cano thing, and the way he said, this might be my greatest call of all. Like, he's looking back on this Hall of Fame career as the dude I called it guy. If I told you some of the shit that this fucking guy threw out there, you know, dude, Matt Castle's the real deal. I'm telling you. The Chiefs are for real, man. They're fucking for real. Vince Young's a winner, man. All he does is win. Who else? I can't even fucking remember. LeBron James. He's afraid of the moment. The guy is afraid of the fucking moment. I actually said, I don't know shit about hoop. When LeBron James took that last second fucking shot, all right, against the Celtics, and he missed it, and it went into overtime. I forget what fucking game it was, 5-6 or something like that. What was it? Was it 5? No, we won game 5. I can't remember what it was. Game 6 or something? No, not game 6. They kicked the shit out of us. Game 5, I think it was. He took the fucking shot, and he missed it. Verzi goes, no way Carmelo Anthony misses that. No fucking way. And I said, dude, that was a big moment for him, whether it went in or not. That was big for him to get over that hurdle and take that fucking shot. And then meanwhile, in the finals, he hits that killer three to fucking wrap it up. Did I call him up going, dude, that might have been, considering I know nothing of it. It drives me up the fucking wall. I went to a Utah Jazz Boston Celtics game. And I fucking said, call Verzi. I'm going, dude, the NBA is fixed. These fucking guys, at one point, you could take somebody's head off. They're not calling shit. And then 10 minutes later, you even look at a guy, you get a foul. And then it goes back to taking their fucking heads off, no biggie. And it's just like, these guys are dictating the pace. They're fucking shaving points. I don't know what's going on. Year later, fucking mobbed up ref. Have I ever called Verzi once? about that shit and thrown it in his fucking face? I never have. I've been listening to this Robinson Cano fucking horse shit. And this is the thing. I don't know one person that ever thought Robinson Cano sucked. I remember as a Red Sox fan, when this dude came up, all I remember was going like, Jesus fucking Christ. Because they went from Chuck Knobloch, then they went to fucking Soriano. That was annoying enough. Because at that point we had one shit, and I was just going, can there be somebody who sucks on this team? So then they trade Soriano for I don't know what, right? And then they bring up Robinson Cano. And it was just so fucking discouraging. That's what Robinson Cano was to me. It was discouraging. It's like these fucking assholes, they got a guy at every fucking position. Then they trade a guy, and then they bring another guy up, and he's the shit. That's how I remember the guy coming up. I don't ever remember like Cano getting booed and everybody saying that he sucked. That's what Verzi's trying to claim. And evidently, he was the only guy. Not even the Yankee scouts saw this guy come. This is going to fucking drive him up the goddamn wall. And it's good. I'm just trying to help out his podcast. You know what I mean? This is like a reverse. You know, like when unknown rappers make a mixtape and they trash somebody bigger than them so they can move their way up? I'm actually helping him. I'm raining down mixtapes onto his podcast. All right. Now listen to Verzi's podcast and listen to him fucking trash me. All right. I think his podcast should be called the Dude I Called It podcast. I love the guy. I'm just breaking his balls. He's fucking hilarious. And he is one of the best feature acts in the country right now. So if he's opening for somebody, no, I'm kidding. He's why can't I compliment my friends? I just can't fucking do it. He's a looker. All right, let's plow through here. I just gave him a window. That's right. You can't compliment me, and you can't give me credit whenever I fucking pick something. I gave you credit, Paul, when you said I got a feeling Tom Brady's going to get hurt, and he blew out his fucking knee. That's your best call. This Robinson Cano shit, okay? You can stick that in a fucking pillow and, I don't know, and do something with it. Go spoon with it, because I don't give a fuck. You're not getting credit for it. You never will get credit for it. Oh, by the way, did you guys see, I know I'm talking a mile a minute. I'm sorry. I'm excited. I made a fucking dinner for myself, and it worked. All right? I can exist by myself. I rubbed one out today. I mean, it's just a fucking self-sustained unit here. I'm ready for the goddamn apocalypse. My dog needs a bath. Look at you itching over there like a maniac. Oh, what the fuck was I just talking about? Oh, I know. I know what it was. I know. Jesus. I know what I was going to talk about. I went up to the Oakland A's facility this weekend, you know, because I'm a giver. They called me up and they said, hey, Bill, you know what? We want to give out some root beer floats. We want to do this to raise awareness for fucking childhood diabetes. And you know what I did? I laughed at everybody, like everybody else, going, what are you, out of your fucking, you're giving people root beer floats for diabetes and you don't see the irony in that? So I got an email. It says, each season, fans and media ask about the irony of the A's Root Beer Float Day supporting juvenile diabetes research. So here are the facts for when people ask about it. Basically, eating too much sugar is not a cause or a factor of type 1 juvenile diabetes. If there's any doctors listening, let me know if this is right. Type 1 diabetes, also called juvenile diabetes, or insulin-dependent diabetes, is a disorder of the body's immune system. In type 1 diabetes, the body does not produce insulin. Insulin is a hormone that is needed to convert sugar and starches and other food into energy needed for daily life. Scientists do not yet know exactly what causes type 1 diabetes, but they believe that autoimmune genetic and environmental factors are involved. Well, that pretty much covers everything. People with type 1 diabetes must inject insulin several times every day or continually infuse insulin through a pump. Eating too much sugar is not a factor. Limiting sweets will help people with type 1 diabetes keep their blood sugar under control, but with the advice of their doctor or nutritionist, sweets can't fit into their meal plan, just as they would for people without diabetes. So they're basically suggesting that they can have a cookie too, and it's not a problem, provided they haven't eaten the whole box, like people who don't have diabetes who do that sometimes, evidently. Is that what they're saying there? I don't fucking know. I got to pass this on to a lawyer or something. And there are times when sweets are a must. If the blood sugar level drops too low, sweets or juice or soda can be the surest to raise it and prevent the onset of hypoglycemia, which evidently, I guess, is low blood sugar. With strict adherence to a specific diet and exercise plan and multiple insulin injections each day based on careful monitoring of blood sugar levels, a person with type 1 diabetes can have some control over his blood sugar levels. So that's what they say. Well, let me ask you this. The amount of sugar that is in a fucking root beer float, does anybody need that throughout the course of the day? Because I know that, you know, some people who have diabetes will carry around a little container of, like, cake frosting. And when their blood sugar gets too low, like dangerously low, they'll take it out like a little snifter. And they'll just take a little frosting right up their nose. And that's a fact. You can go to Wikipedia Answers. You can go to Wiki Answers and look that one up. I don't fucking know. All I can tell you this is I did a fucking incredible job. I'm patting myself on the back like Paul Verzey. Dude, this might have been the greatest root beer float ever produced. I got it down to a science. Science? I got it down to a fucking science. This is how you do it. This is how you do it. This is how I was fucking up. I was putting the ice cream in first, and then I pour the root beer on, and it would just start foaming up like I was some sort of a mad scientist. I'm not leaning over to say hello to you, Cleo. I'm just leaning over because my back hurts. All right? All right, beat it. Is it weird that I like dog breath? You know, not bad dog breath, but just in general. It doesn't... I don't fucking know why. I freak my dog out. I tell you, every once in a while, I just grab her by both ears and I yell in her face, I fucking love you. You know, it's weird. It's like, I can't believe how much I love that fucking dog. And I have problems with that emotion, so I don't know how to handle it. So I have to fucking grab her and have her looking at me like, what the fuck are you doing? And then I just yell, I fucking love you right in her face. If I told you that before, I don't give a shit. I got a fucking hour to fill here. So anyways, this is how, so the root beer float, what you want to do, people, is you want to fill your mug about 40% with root beer or orange soda, like a lot of people do, and kind of make like a cream sickle out of it. I don't know. 40%. And then you take a nice glob of fucking ice cream and you slam that fucker in there, okay? You try to let it slide down the side of the glass. You tilt it like you learned in bartending school. All right? Because you don't want it to splash because then you're going to have that foam fucking problem again. You let it slide. This is me. This is what I did. People fucking gathering at my fucking table where it was me and this other radio dude up there named Icky who looked like a fucking J. Crew model. I don't know why his name was Icky. I forgot to ask him, but all the chicks fucking loved him and they were looking at me like the balding redhead that I am. You know? And of course, like most balding people, I'm trying harder. Like that short guy out on the court, got his fucking dick on your leg playing defense in some bullshit pickup game, right? One of those guys? That's how I was making these root beer floats. I was fucking killing it. That's how I was raised. A little bit of pride in your work. So I got it down. So I would let that thing slide in. Slide in like a ship being set off to fucking sea. You know when they do that shit? Oh, they don't slide it down a ramp. No, they don't. They fill the whole fucking thing with water. What the hell image is that? I don't fucking know. Whatever. Like a fucking pontoon boat in a snowstorm. I don't know. I don't have an image for it. Whatever. Let the fucking... Like Quint slid down into the jaws of that shark in the end of Jaws. Except he's not kicking and screaming. He's enjoying it. You know? Like he wants it to happen. No? All right, whatever. So I slide the fucking ice cream down. There's only a little bit of foam. And then what you do is you put a little more ice cream in. And then you top it off a little bit of root beer. Okay? Then you take a napkin. All right? You put it on the outside and you hand it to him handle fucking first. That's what I was doing. That's the way it went down. In case you were wondering. And then what did I do? Oh, fuck. I went out. And went to an Italian restaurant. And I'm sitting there ordering this really nice Italian restaurant in San Francisco, and I swear to God, I looked over, two tables over, and it was fucking Joe Montana. Joe Montana. I almost started shrieking like a girl. Joe Montana is the Michael Jordan of quarterbacks. He just is. He's the best I ever fucking saw. There's nobody near him. Fuck all these goddamn fantasy football stats guys. I don't give a shit. Joe got you to the playoffs, and when he got to the playoffs, Joe won. Joe went 4-0
in fucking Super Bowls. The classic story, they're down against the Bengals. He's sitting there in the huddle during the TV timeout, right? And he just, hey, that's John Candy in the crowd, right? Just totally fucking, hey, you know, whatever. Just going to go out, throw the ball around, win another fucking Super Bowl, right?
Unfucking believable. So I was freaking out. I actually had a buddy of mine ask me, he goes, dude, did you go up to him? Did you ask for a picture? It's like, dude, are you out of your fucking mind? It's fucking Joe Montana. First of all, I wouldn't interrupt Screech if he was eating and asking for a goddamn photo. This is fucking Joe Montana. Joe fucking Montana. I wouldn't ask Joe Montana for a photo. I wouldn't interrupt him for a photo. I just saved him from fucking drowning. I wouldn't ask him. I wouldn't impose. I wouldn't. It's fucking Joe Montana. That is the biggest, most legendary fucking athlete I've ever seen. He's up there with, one time I was in Vegas and Michael Jordan walked through the casino like late at night with like three security guards flanking him, wearing one of those NBA, I'm the greatest basketball players of all time suits, looking like $1 million. That fucking hoop earring that looked like a goddamn, I don't know, like a fucking horseshoe just made out of diamonds hanging out of his ear. It's just everybody stopped. Even degenerate gamblers, everybody just stopped as he fucking walked by. He was right up there with that. And I saw Dr. J at the ESPYs last year. Those are my big three? They got to be. Those are the three biggest guys I ever saw. It's fucking unreal. Joe Montana. I just kept looking over at him. I said it to my waiter when he came over. I was just like, is that fucking Joe Montana? And he was all geeking out going, yeah, it is. I was like, oh, fucking Joe Montana. I said the F word like 15. You know what it is about Joe Montana? Aside from being the shit, when he retired, he just kind of disappeared. He didn't go on to ESPN. He didn't do any of that shit. For the first time in years, he's finally doing some national commercials with that, you know, hey, look at these new fucking sneakers. They're going to help your old feet, whatever the fuck they are. Is that the worst impression of a commercial ever? Hey, the fuck is that? Hey, look at these sneakers. Whatever. So I think that adds to his mystique. He kind of left like Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson signed off. That was it. He did one Letterman. I think that was it. He did one Letterman thing, and then that was it. Called in the Tonight Show one time, I think, when they were doing Celebrity in a Sack or some shit like that, or he made fun of it. I do remember that. But he just left with Clash. Joe Montana did the same thing. You know, he's not out there with some NBC peacoat, right? Just saying, well, what the Giants got to do today? He's not doing that. Joe doesn't need to sit there and analyze. He knows what's going to happen. He's fucking Joe Montana. I did it. I'm done with you guys. Guy was still in phenomenal shape, you know? That was the shit. It was the fucking shit. So that was my week. I gave out root beer floats. The Oakland A's. Jesus Christ, man. If you want to go to a throwback fucking stadium, you got to go to the Oakland A's stadium, man. And you know what? You're going to realize how truly fat this country has got. And I'm not talking about their fans. I'm talking about how small the corridor is when you walk out to get food. And just the way they used to build the stadiums. The way they used to build the stadiums. You know, nowadays you can order a fucking hot dog, you know, while you're rubbing one out, taking a piss, still watching the goddamn game. You still have a great, it's like sight lines everywhere. This thing, man, you just walk in and you're like in a bunker. You have no idea what's going on. There's like a kitchen TV like 30 yards away, like hanging from the ceiling, right? That fucking Ken Stabler donated to it. That's basically what happened. And that's what I always realize when I go to the old stadiums is how truly fat this country has gotten. You know? I guess they were smaller back then, weren't they? They were shorter. So what, a bunch of little people just waddling through? Well, why the fuck would the ceilings be that high? I don't know. I was like claustrophobic walking through the shit. I'm just like, this needs to be at least like another like fucking 10 feet wider. It was like the Oakland Coliseum, whatever the fuck they call it, that is the antithesis to Yankee Stadium. If I don't know if you've been to the new Yankee Stadium. It's weird. It's like breathtaking and growing up gaudy all at the same time. Sometimes you walk around a corner, you see something, it's like, oh my, it takes you back to like 1929. You think Ruth and Gehrig are going to come walking around. You're going to hear their cleats. And then you look to your left, and then there's some guy behind glass cutting up steaks. Like, oh, look at all the money we got. You know, it's really fucking stupid. that's what happens whenever I go to New Yankee Stadium. I either think about Lou Gehrig and the old school Yankees, or I think of that Pizza Hut commercial where that fucking white trash whore was eating the pasta going, oh, and she did, but she didn't know that it was Pizza Hut or Domino's or whatever. And they were like, what do you think about it? She's like, oh my God, it's so decadent. Pizza Hut pasta, decadent. Really? Speaking of corporate entities, it's time for a fucking commercial. Here we go. Commercial. All right. There's only two this week, everybody. You know, some cunt actually said, you know, commercials are only 30 seconds long on TV. Why don't you get on it? Are they as enter-fucking-taining as these are? I don't think they are, sir. And they're not only 30. What about those infomercials? Maybe I'm doing a little mini infomercial. You ever think about that? You know, why don't you just fast forward through it, you fucking moron? All right. Advertisement number one, Amazon. Amazon. If you're going to buy something online, you want to support the Monday Morning Podcast, this is a great way to do it. And you're also supporting the Wounded Warrior Project, all right? You go to my podcast, BillBird.com. You click on the podcast page, and then you click on the Amazon banner. This is just if you're going to Amazon, all right? Just stop by my podcast, go on there. Once you go on to Amazon.com, you don't have to do anything. And then you want to buy something, go ahead and buy it. And they kick a certain percentage back to me, and then I take 10% of that, and I round it up to the nearest fucking 100, and I pass that on to the troops. All right? It's a great way to help out my podcast, and a great way to support the troops. All in one, two in one. Like that guy shampoo that has got the shampoo and the conditioner right in it. Right? All right, the next one. This is it. This is the last one for the week. Gamefly.com. You got 18,000 video games available. Do you play video games? Is that what you do? Is that what you're doing over there? Huh? You playing your little video game? Why don't you go to Gamefly.com? Because I know you don't have 8,000 video games. I know you don't. Gamefly.com does. You got 8,000 video games. They'll mail them right to your house. You can sit there in your pajamas, rubbing your balls as you pay for them. Actually, you don't even have to pay for them. It's a 15-day free trial. Okay? They'll mail them to you or send them right to your friggin' PC. Monthly fees are a fraction of what a new game costs. They got stuff. It works for PlayStation, Xbox, Wii, and even on your PC. So for Monday Morning Podcast listeners, get a free 2-disc, 15-day free trial. It's a $23 value by going to www.gamefly.com/burr, or you go through the banner ad on the podcast page at billburr.com. There you go. All right, that's it. Wasn't that painless? Wasn't that painless, man, bitching about fucking commercials? Oh, you know what? I tweeted about some girl. I'm too old to know who the fuck she is. Now, what the fuck did I do with all the podcast shit? I'm the worst. I got all this shit here. You know what's going to be the last one that I click on? You know what's going to be. Where is it? Are you fucking kidding me? It's not that. You know, at some point, I really should just hit pause, shouldn't I? You guys, you know what? I'm not doing this to you. Hang on a second. All right, I'm back. Dude, I got to tell you something. I hate this. This is a reverse commercial. The new MacBook Pro can suck a dick. I fucking hate this thing. It's unfucking believable. I knew how to use a laptop before I bought this thing. Now, I don't know what the fuck is going on. I never closed the window. Where the fuck did it go? Dude, do you know something? That cunt that's in your iPhone, that Surrey bitch, do you know that, like, they sit there and, like, gather all the information that you talk about to that bitch so she can, air quote, help you out better? That iCloud shit, you just giving them all the stuff that you do. Like, they're a bunch of fucking creeps over there. They really are at Apple. Bunch of fucking voyeuristic fucking weirdos. They got that whole J. Edgar Hoover vibe going on over there. Every fucking thing you do, like, they're peeking in. They're fucking nerds. They don't know how to get laid. So now what they're doing is they're standing outside the window of everybody in this fucking country with their dick in their hand trying to figure out what the fuck you're doing. How is that legal? Why don't they bring it up? Is this some legal mumbo-jumbo that I automatically agreed to the second I fucking bought this phone? I don't talk to that robot bitch at all. I cut her out of my life. You know? That fucking John Malkovich just giggling like a little goddamn schoolgirl. Just having a great fucking time with it. Noise the hell out of me. All right, upcoming shows. I'm going to be in the Inland Empire, Ontario, California, June 29th, 30th, and July 1st with Cleveland, Ohio's own Jason Lawhead and Kevin Shea. Kevin Shea is going to be out there. Going to be at the Hampton Beach Ballroom Casino July 14th in the Newport Yachting Festival Center, whatever the fuck it is, July 15th. And I'll be at Caroline's in New York City from July 26th through the 29th. And I will be making a beeline to the Opie and Anthony program to defend my honor after Joe DeRosa mercilessly evidently trashed me last Friday on the show. Okay? Now, I know that I shouldn't get mad at him. This isn't Joe. This is his addiction. All right? The sensation, he had a nice run. You know, his album sales started falling off. He got the sickness. All right? He was exhausted. He went away, and now he's coming back, and he's lashing out at the people that helped him out in this business. Okay? Fucking Joe DeRosa. Taking swings at me while I'm still sleeping. Taking fucking pot shots at me while I'm fucking trying to get my goddamn beauty sleep, you know? Isn't that exactly what you'd expect from a shoulderless, half-Egyptian fucking son of a bitch like Joe DeRosa? Oh, that motherfucker. That goddamn motherfucker. All right, let's get with the question here. Obsessed friend, or as I read it the first time, obese friend. Obsessed friend. Hey, Bill, first and foremost, I like your podcast. Thank you. I wanted to get your opinion on something. One of my male friends... Do you have female friends? I don't get how that works. I really don't get how that works. I had such a funny conversation. Oh, Jesus, was I giggling. I had this conversation with this guy one time, and we were talking about guys, like women who have guy friends, straight guy friends. And we were both saying that we didn't like it. Like, I don't like Nia to have guy friends. I don't like it. I don't like these guys fucking hanging around. And this guy summed it up perfectly. He goes, two types of guys hang out, are friends with women. Gay guys and guys trying to fuck that woman. And that's exactly it. He put it a little more colorful than that. All right? But that's exactly how I feel. You know, I don't have any female friends. I have a few, but it's like if I see them at comedy clubs, that's it. We don't fucking hang out, though. You know? Like, oh, I'll come by, pick you up, let's go to the movies. If I'm doing that with you, I'm trying to fuck you. You know, there's no, like, what am I, sit around and talk about reality TVs or whatever? Can I be more condescending to females? Whatever the fuck it is you guys talk about? Anyways. Sometimes guys, I think, have female friends so they can fuck their friends. I don't know. I've never been able to do that. I just, like, it's on the table. This is, you know why I'm here, all right? I'm not here to fucking borrow a bracelet, you know? Do you know those guys are the guys that get the most goddamn ass, other than just those fucking type A fucking... They just got that thing that makes girls fall all over themselves. I'm not talking about those guys who just, you know, at 13, they could bang a 28-year-old hottie. I'm not talking about those fucking guys, you know, grow a fucking mustache already. You know those guys, like banging a teacher and shit, and it's like no big deal to them. I'm not talking about them. I'm just talking like regular fucking dudes who have to figure out a way to get some. Those fucking dudes who are straight and they do that androgynous thing, where they start borrowing chicks' clothes or chicks like their clothes, it's fucking over. It's over. You know, when you got a little Steven Tyler in your tank, you know? Anyways, what am I trying to say here? Yeah, you're wearing like scarves and you accessorize as you're dressing. You know, there's something about it. Oh my God, I love that. What is that? Is that maize? What is maize? Is maize what corn is made out of? I was trying to think. What is that light blue shit that they have in New Mexico? Teal? Well, what the fuck do you call it? Aztec? Arapaho? Sorry, we annihilated you. Here's a casino. What the fuck is that shit called? Oh, God damn it. Who gives a shit? White guy pretending to be a cowboy. What the fuck is that? Pretending you have a ranch. Anyways. Where the fuck was I? One of my male friends who I've been friends with for a long time. Maybe this is a chick writing it. Who knows? Met this girl about a year ago, and she has since become good friends with my entire group of friends. This friend has become obsessed. Okay, the first person you're talking about now? That's what I'm going. That's how I'm reading this. Your friend has become obsessed with this girl and makes it unintentionally obvious to the world that he would do anything to be with her. He makes every possible attempt he can to be around her, to do stuff for her, and even helps her pay her bills. Well, I can tell you one thing. This dude is never fucking this girl. What kind of fucking approach is that? You know? That's like giving away merchandise and then going, oh, by the way, that was $50. They're already in the car driving away. All right? What you got to do is hold that. Do you know how, like, people, this is how you bag a girl like this. Do you know, you ever watch a hockey fight? They don't stand face to face anymore. What they do is they stand sideways, grab a jersey, and they cock their fucking hand back, right? And they're standing sideways, you know, and you got that close shoulder. So that guy can't really get you with anything if you're doing it right. And then if he goes to throw the fucking overhand right, you're out of his range. Unless he's fucking really tall. But I'm just saying, generally speaking, that's how you do it with this girl. Okay, you get your hand on her fucking shoulder, and then everything she wants, you hold it away from her so she can't get it. And it's in between what she wants and her. What's in between it is you and your dick. Okay? That's how you got to do it. That's called the Carcillo. I hope that made sense. Anyways, and he'll do anything. He's paying her fucking bills. The annoying part is he will not be straight up with any of us friends and say how he truly wants to be with her. He will only say she's hot. I can tell you who's banging this girl, the guy who's not doing all that shit. Anyways, she is aware about how he feels, and in an attempt to steer him away, she says stuff like, you're like my brother, and will not do anything to make him think that he's even has the slightest chance of anything. Fuck this cunt. Fuck that. All right? Oh, but she'll accept him paying her bills? She's using the guy. Now, this guy's a jackass. Okay? He is setting himself up to be fucking used. Okay? Oh, you're like a boyfriend. You're like a brother. She's saying that right after he pays her fucking bills. I bet she doesn't say that before. You know? I don't know. I think this is obviously his fault. He's putting himself in this situation. But she's kind of a douche for using him like that. That really fucking annoys me. That really says something about this other person. I would never fucking do that to somebody. Lead somebody on like that. Why would you do that? Because you are kind of leading them on in a little way. Oh, whatever. Taking advantage of this stupid fucking puppy love that they have for you. You know, if somebody comes up to you and they're really into you and you're not into them, you know, it's kind of your job to stay the fuck away from them so they forget about you. That's the gentleman thing to do. You know, if they give you a gift, you just take it and you go, hey, you see that? And you fucking throw it across the parking lot. All right, just get it over with. Rip the Band-Aid off. You just be mean to them, something. You can get them the fuck away from you. All right? But you don't keep being nice to him, keep hanging around him, and fucking letting him pay your bill. I guess you guys have the same group of friends, but you know, she should just be like, look, stop paying my fucking bills, because at some point I feel like you're going to feel like you can fuck me, and that ain't happening. All right? So get that stupid fucking look off your face. It ain't happening. I don't like you. Fuck off. Okay? See you at the reunion. She sometimes even cracks jokes when he's not around about his never-ending attempts to win her over. Ah, this girl's a fucking cunt. It's getting to the point where it's pitiful, and I want to tell him to stop being such a pussy and realize it isn't going to happen and move on. At the same time, he's a good friend, and I want to be respectful. And I get it. She's a cool chick, and she's hot, and he's trying to get it. get it in. What would you recommend? Sit back and continue watching the desperation, or be straight up and try and talk some sense into him? This is always a hard fucking thing. Because you could be like, you know, fuck her, she's using you or whatever, they ain't going to happen. And then they end up together, and then you're the douche, and you get froze out. But I think in this case, this kid doesn't have a prayer. He's not even a man to her at this point. He's just showing that he's dumb, that he can be used, and that he's going to not nearly make as much an hour as he should, because he's a jackass. That's what he's showing her. So, yeah, she just, you know, at the very least, critique the guy's approach. Be like, look, you want to fuck this girl? Just ignore her. Don't ignore her. Just be like, hey, what's going on? Just be your fucking self. Like, talk to other people. You know? Go hit on some other fucking hot girl in front of her. Some shit like that. I've said this shit before. That's what you do. You know? Go out. Start working out. You know, take care of yourself. Get a little fucking spring in your step. And all of a sudden, oh, what the fuck's he doing? All of a sudden, he's not paying attention to me. And that's going to tap into her. Oh, my God. Am I not hot anymore? That fear they have. That fear that all fucking hot chicks have the day they're not going to be hot anymore. You know, and they stayed out there too long. You know, you got to tap into that shit. But then you're playing a fucking game. You know, this douchebag, he fucking loves her. What an asshole. You know, why don't you just say to him one night, just be like, dude, how long are you going to fucking chase this chick? Why are you paying your bills? You're setting yourself up like a fucking sap. Do you want to bang this girl? Stop treating her like she's fucking Mother Teresa. That's disgusting. That's the wrong one. Stop treating her like she's fucking Mary. The Virgin fucking Mary who has a kid. Give me a break. Right? Oh, would I fucking give her shit if I ever saw her? If I ever came walking down the street in my sandals and my robe back in the day and I saw the Virgin Mary. Really? How did it happen? Huh? How did it happen? Really? You just woke up and you were pregnant? Well, congratulations, Mary. You got roofied. All right? Don't take a shower. Go down and get yourself fucking swabbed and let's figure out who did it. Wow. Oh, Jesus Christ. Let's regroup from that one. All right. You know, that isn't my fault. That's some fucking that's because of this goddamn question. All right. Well, you know what, dude? If you want to tell him, just fucking tell him. Just tell him, dude, as a friend, I can't sit here watching you keep running up trying to kick the football and watching her take it away, okay? She doesn't fucking respect you. Don't say that. Don't say anything that the girl said, because then he's going to say it to her, and then she's going to give you that fucking, you know, that look that girls do when they're mad, where they make their eyes, like, really small. You know, sometimes they have their mouth hanging open when they do it, like, you know, you don't want to deal with that. Did I even give you advice? I don't remember. All right. Should I kick my girlfriend's dad's ass? Hey, Bill. I remember giving advice to a guy about whether or not he should kick his neighbor's ass. Well, I'm in a similar situation, only it involves my girlfriend's father. I'm 22 years old, and I am a first lieutenant in the U.S. Army, and I live in Colorado. Oh, Jesus. Are you up there in Greeley? At Fort whatever? With the bad smell day? Huh? Could you stop slaughtering cows? We can't breathe. Or they steer. I don't know. I've been with my girl for a little under a year now, and her father has not been a problem up until now. Her parents are extremely religious. Oh, Jesus. Oh, don't play this podcast, especially that last part. And they are always trying to get me and my girl to go to mass with them. When I first met her dad, he seemed like a good shit. A good shit. This guy's East Coast. He seemed like a good shit kid. We are both gun nuts, so the entire time I was around him, we talked about guns, no conflicts at all. The second time I saw him, I was in my my uniform, and while we were talking about whatever inane shit we were talking about, he slipped into the conversation. You know, just because you're in the Army, does not scare me at all. Oh, wow. Yeah, that is weird. Just because you're in the Army, that doesn't scare me at all. I raised an eyebrow at this, but I let it slide. I hope you filed that in the back of your head. That's a weird one. This was about 8 months ago. Fast forward to about 2 days ago. I'm currently moving out of the military housing in Fort Carson here
in Colorado Spring, and I'm fixing to move up to Denver. The people I'm buying the house from were still moving out, so I had to stay at a friend's house, and my girl was staying at her parents' house. One night, we went out to dinner, and we stayed out till around 11. And made out after we ate. Okay, people, this is what I'm talking about, where I don't need every fucking detail. Let's just get to the point here. I made no effort to fuck this girl because I know her parents will start foaming at the mouth if I do. But it looks like I don't have to. She fell asleep in my car on the way back, so I had to carry her. I was doing so well reading, wasn't I? She fell asleep in the car on the way back, so I had to carry her to her inside. Okay, inside the house, is that what you're trying to say? When her mom opened the door, she looked extremely nervous, and my girl's dad was sitting in a chair just staring at me as I walked in and took the girl to the guest room. Dude, why didn't you just fucking wake her up? When I went back downstairs, her dad was waiting for me at the door. Before I could leave, he put his hand in front of me and said, "I want a word with you outside." This is never good. Whenever says, "I want a word with you outside." When we both went outside, he outright asked me, "Did you fuck my daughter?" I told him no, but he replied, "You're a goddamn liar. No one stays out that long without fucking." Oh, my God. Was he wearing a wife beater with his old man chest sagging a little bit? I reassured him I did not fuck his daughter, and before I left, he looked at me in the eyes with his nose about touching my eyes and said, "If I find out you ever have sex with my daughter, you don't even want to know what's going to happen to you." I blankly stared at him for about 10 seconds and walked away to my truck and drove away. I'm now living in Denver with my girl, and I'm getting calls every day from her dad asking what we're doing and what our plans for the day are. Yesterday, he called up and asked the same old stupid-ass question, and my girl told him we were planning to go out and see a movie. Yesterday, he came over to my house without his wife. Since I answered the door, he told me to step outside, and he asked me once again if I fucked his daughter. An almost identical conversation ensued, but this time I noticed he had a sidearm on him. Dude, this is okay. This is going beyond my abilities here, buddy. When he's wearing a jacket with a shoulder holster, but he's so fucking fat that a pistol insanely contrasts with his round yoga ball body form. He once again said, he told me that I don't want to even know what will happen if I fuck his daughter. Bill, I need your advice. What should I do about this prick? I'm pretty sure that this guy has no idea that I went to Ranger school and that I have been trained to shove a knife in another man's neck with none of... All right, dude. What the fuck? This is what you need. I don't know what you need to do, dude. This is beyond me. Okay? This sounds like the beginning of one of those murders. These murder things. I think you, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck to do here. Don't listen to my advice here because I'm going to end up getting sued. This one's too deep. You don't need to kick this guy's ass. You don't need to do anything like that. I think you almost need to go to the cops. Does this guy have a license to carry? Why the fuck is he sitting there with a pistol and he keeps having this open-ended thing? Dude, this guy's fucking nuts, man. This guy sounds like he's crazy and I don't know. This is easy for me to say because I don't have any feelings in this thing. I would fucking say, you know what? You need to go back and move back home with your parents and you need to live with them. And when your dad can accept the fact that you're an adult and you're going to do what you want to do, give me a call. But until then, I don't need some guy coming up to me making veiled threats with the fucking sidearm. All right? I'm not looking to get shot in the fucking head. And that's the thing, dude. I know you're a ranger and that type of thing, but the thing about a gun is that makes everybody tough, okay? You can fucking kill Bruce Lee with a gun. So you definitely do not want to go, you know, Steven Seagal on this shit. Like, I don't know. This sounds to me like I would get out of that relationship. Tell her to go home and just say, listen, your dad is not ready for you to be in an adult relationship, and I'm not ready to die or get shot at, or whatever the fuck it is he has planned. I am going to stay here and, you know, enjoy my life without fat men coming up to me asking me what the fuck I'm doing with the women in my life.
good luck and God bless, and it's on to Chicago. Let's win there. That's what the fuck I would do. But like I said, don't listen to me on that one. That is beyond. Yeah, dude, that's whole other level shit here. Yeah, guys, don't send me in shit like that. That's creepy, man. All right. Okay, let's move on. Hey, breakup advice. All right, let's try to break the tension here. I'm 27 and just broke up with my girlfriend in 2 years. We took a break for about 3 months last summer, got back together in September, and have been going together ever since. Let's read that again. I was too busy thinking of the other thing. I'm 27, just broke up with my girlfriend in 2 years. We took a break for about 3 months last summer, got back together in September, and been together ever since. I'm going to guess that this you're going to find out she fucked somebody in those 3 months. We've been arguing a lot over the past 2 months or so, but it's all about bullshit. Nothing serious, just little nagging things that get us all worked up, and then it turns into a much bigger fight about how we don't see the same... We don't see the same way on priorities and key relationship points. Yeah, you guys, you broke up. You got lonely. You got back together. This happens. This is like the breakup's the tsunami, and then this is the aftershock, and finally the second wave. One fight a couple weeks ago actually was because she thought she left the stove on. I said, no, it's fine. She says, well, you don't know for sure, and then it escalated from there. I thought that shit only happens on bad sitcoms. Now, we've never done anything bad like cheat or be abusive, as far as you know, towards each other at all. And when things are good, we're totally in love. We have all the same interests and enjoy doing things together tremendously. Unfortunately, it's only around 60% of the time. The other 40%, we're kind of on edge with each other. So she ended up breaking up with me about 2 weeks ago after a stupid drunk fight when we got home from the bar at 2 a.m. Her words were... We're just not working. Now, since then, she's been commenting/liking my pics and status on social networks and IMing me when we're at work. Yeah, this girl, she's not ready to just go walk through the pain by herself, so she keeps doing it like this. He goes, I even got drunk late last night, phone call, then hang up the other night. Oh, you did that? She was the one to break it off too. She claims she missed me like crazy, but she just doesn't know what to do. I said, we either cut the bullshit and move forward or stop talking completely. She hasn't replied to me since that last thing I said. I really do love this chick and imagined us spending a very long time together at this point. I'm almost positive she feels the same way as well, but should I stop being a pussy and just move along? I'm not sure if these things can be worked out or we both adjust our attitudes or if there really is a more serious problem in the big picture of a relationship. Any feedback would help. I don't know, dude. You know what, dude? Just take 3 months for your fucking self. Three, 6 months. Just get away from her. Don't talk to her. 6-8 months if you're still fucking. I don't know how long you guys have been out for, like 2 years. It's gonna take like 6-8 months to kind of, you know, it sucks. If you love somebody, it's going to take that long just to kind of get it going again. But look, dude, if you're going to marry this chick someday, you know, why not go out and bang a bunch of broads now before you get back together with her? And it's going to be her call because she fucking broke up with you. I always have the same advice. Just fucking focus on yourself. You know, get in great shape. Go out. Go chat up some fucking girls you think are out of your league. And who knows? You might meet a better one. Who knows? Who the fuck knows? But at this point, she's, you know, I would definitely, you're just going to keep, when you break up with somebody, you got to get away from them or you're just going to keep hurting each other. And, you know, I don't advise going out, getting plastered and eating a bunch of shit food and becoming a fucking depressed tub of shit, you know, jerking off with, KFC containers around you. Don't do that. Go the other way. All right. Go the other way. I don't know, dude. Just go do some shit you couldn't do when you were fucking with her. You know what I mean? Go take a road trip. Go to a fucking baseball stadium you wanted to go to. Go do some fun, dumb shit. Whatever the fuck you want to do. Learn how to ride a motorcycle. Some fucking cool guy shit. Just go have a good fucking time. Do something. Go to an all-star game. You know? Go out to Vegas. Go to that fucking whore ranch. Whatever the fuck you want to do. Go do some shit like that. And then, you know, if you still give a fuck about her and, you know, by the time the next election, then I don't know what to tell you. Then figure it out from there. But at this point, I would stay away from each other. So you stop hurting each other. All right. Convincing my girlfriend to get a dog. All right, this is a nice short one. Hey, Billiamson, I've been living with my girlfriend for about a month plus now. It's seriously the greatest relationship I've ever been in. Really? In a month? Yeah, you're fucking every day. Why wouldn't it be awesome? I just took all the joy out of that. Maybe he found the one. I don't know. In order to take this relationship to the next level, I would really like us to get a Great Dane. I'm sorry. I just had to take a look. Okay, you've been with this girl. You just moved in for a month. And now you want to get a Great Dane. Everything's going great. You're fucking like rabbits, and now you want to live with a little horse. All right. I would really like us to get a Great Dane. From all Great Dane owners, I hear they are the laziest dogs, that they don't require a ton of work in comparison to terriers, for example. Dude, but they take up the whole apartment. All right, they take a shit the size of that fucking aged salami they have hanging in those fucking Italian restaurants. You know, you got to pick it up with a fucking hefty bag. I don't know, to each his own. The main reason why I need her approval is because she'll have to participate in the work of taking care of the dog. Most of my work involves me being gone for 12 to 14 hours a day. Dude, are you out of your mind? While her job is 9 to 5. How do you suggest I convince this woman to agree to get a dog? Dude, don't get a dog. That's not fair to the dog. Okay, you're basically never there, and she works 9 to 5. You're not in a place right now to get a dog. Dogs need attention. They're pack animals. They like laying around with you. All right? It's hard enough for you to leave for an 8-hour day. That's not fair to the dog, man. It's great that you're a dog lover, but also I don't think it's good for your relationship. You just moved in. You're just figuring out who does what. You're having a good time, and then you're going to add this fucking thing that's going to come in. It's probably going to be a puppy. It's going to be shitting all over the place. You're going to kill your utopia. I think it's a bad move, dude. I think it's great to get a dog. It's the greatest fucking thing I ever did. I love having a dog, but I waited till I had a schedule, you know, and I was with the right person and all that type of shit, and I didn't figure that out a month. So, I don't know, dude. I think that might be throwing a giant fucking wrench in your situation. But let me know how it works out. All right, overrated, underrated. Underrated. If you guys want to send the overrated, underrated, this is something else that you also send to that email address that I gave you earlier. Underrated. Taking a punch from your girlfriend's ex. I was out at a bar with my lady and some other friends. I come back from a bar to see this guy yelling at her friend. So I mosey on over and make sure nothing's going down. While I'm looking at the Tigers game on TV, he takes a swing at me, and I took it like a champ. That's the end of the story? Dude, you got to write me back. I got to know what happened. Overrated. Bouncers. Oh, here we go. They grabbed both of us before I could get a swing in. But oh well, taking his punch got my girl to do anything I wanted that night. And it made me look like a badass when the punch didn't faze me. Ah, that's hilarious. See that? See what happens? See what happens when you get jealous over a woman? You go over, you punch somebody in the face, it doesn't even hurt. And then he's banging that chick in the ass. So there's a lesson right there. There's one to grow on. Underrated. Cleaning your car. Clean that shit up. There's nothing worse than getting into a friend's car and having to place your feet between 2 months of water, 2 months old of water bottles and coffee cups. Absolutely. I recently heard a girl on Ari Shaffir's podcast. You guys got to check that out, by the way. That's another one of my favorites. Ari spelled A-R-I, Shaffir, S-H-A-F-I-R. Podcast say that girls take that as a sign of how clean your bedroom is. I think it's true. One of my buddy's cars looks like a recycling center, and his bedroom looks like it hosted a Motley Crue after party. Except that's not cool, and there was no party. Yeah, absolutely. I fucking can't stand a woman with a messy car. You know, you get, oh my god, I have a cat. I'm sorry, and you got cat hair all over you. You know, and then you see what they ate for the last 6 fucking weeks. It's disgusting. And I hate when girls have like fucking half their wardrobe. It's disgusting. You know what I mean? And I imagine like a guy's filthy car has got to be even fucking worse. And I bet that's even more of a turnoff for a woman just because of the way we're set up physically. You know? I just look at her, I'm like, oh, this girl's disgusting. I don't want to bang her. You know? They got to look at you and be like, oh, my God, this guy's disgusting. He's going to enter my body. All right, overrated. Drinking coffee to stay awake. Yeah, you might wake up a bit, but you function like an asshole and your breath smells like an ashtray. Eat an apple and go for a run. Oh, that's how you wake yourself up? Jesus Christ, that's pretty healthy. All right, YouTube video of the week. I actually just watched the first 10 minutes of this. This is fucking awesome. If you guys want to watch a great documentary, it's a documentary about bouncers. We'll have this on the MM podcast page. You can click on it. It's actually just called Bouncer Documentary, Part 1. And you get to see these guys tell their stories. You know, some of them are smart. Some of them are meatheads. I think they have a nice balance. Some guys don't want to get into a fight. Some guys are like, one guy's just like, sometimes I just want somebody to say something just to give me an excuse. And he's like fucking squeezing his fists together. He's sweating and shit. It's a great one. All right. That's the podcast for this week. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Once again, let me give out that email again. Just so you have it, because I haven't given it out in a long fucking time. All right. Once again, if you would like to email the podcast, send your overrated, underrated, and all that bullshit, and ask me advice, whatever you want to do. It's bill@themmpodcast.com. All right, that's it. I hope you guys have a great week, and look at me getting the podcast up on time. All right, go fuck yourself.